بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم الله سبحانه وتعالى give us توفيق. We are busy in this discussion of those individuals whom Allah had selected. Allah had selected them to nurture His Habib صلى الله عليه وسلم. We just discussed the beautiful life of Barakah Ayman radiallahu anha, who reared and took care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after his mother Amina. And there's many reports in this regard where Barakah would take care of him, where Abdul Muttalib would say, Barakah, be mindful of my son, I see him by the low tree. People say that he would be the Nabi of this Ummah. This talk was taking place during the childhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's reports that say that two men from the Jews of Medina came one day and told Barakah, bring out Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wasallam so we can see him. When they looked at him and after scrutinizing him, one of them said to the other that really this is the prophet of this ummah. And that is his place of migration, indicating towards Medina Munawwara, at that time known as Yathrib. So Barakah took care of him. After the demise of Abdul Muttalib, and towards the end of his demise, he gave wasiyah that Abu Talib, one of his children, one of the children, one of the sons of Abdul Muttalib, was Abu Talib. And interestingly, Abu Talib and Abdullah, the father of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, come from the same mother. So Abu Talib should take care of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the wasiyah of Abdul Muttalib. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 8, with Ayman, he moved in to the home of Abu Talib. And whose home was Abu Talib's home? His wife was none other than Fatima bint Asad radiallahu anha. And Abu Talib is known to have Fatima as his wife. And it's not recorded in history that he had taken other women besides Fatima. It was a common practice to take more than one wife, especially at that time in the world. And it was a practice advocated by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. But Abu Talib had one wife, and she was Fatima bint Asad. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam grew up in the home of Fatima bint Asad. And I take this opportunity to remind myself and yourself of this beautiful hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ana wa kafilul yatim fil jannati hakada." Myself and that one who upbrings and cares and shows love and kindness to the orphan will be in Jannah like this. And he indicated with his two fingers, the Shahadat finger and the middle finger. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated a slight gap between the two, meaning very, very close would be the attachment of myself and the one who takes care of the yatim. To such an extent, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person, that home, خَيْرُ بَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, the best home of the believers is that home wherein there's an orphan who's being treated kindly. And the worst home is that home wherein the orphan is being ill-treated in that home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and make our homes the best of homes. After quoting to you the sahih report of Bukhari and Muslim and all the books of hadith, I ask you, if the best home is that home where the orphan is treated kindly, imagine the home of Fatima bint Asad, where the greatest orphan was brought up and was cared for and was loved. Fatima bint Asad would show so much of love to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to such an extent that he always mentioned her. And he would say, after Abu Talib, there's no one who treated me better than Fatima bint Asad. Allahu Akbar. That is why she's so worthy of us mentioning her, revering her, and extolling her virtues. And her virtues are so many. Fatima bint Asad, radiallahu ta'ala, anha. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was but 8 when he moved him to the home of Fatima binti Asad radiallahu anha. She showed him the love that he needed. He was at that age where he needed the love of a mother, and Fatima binti Asad radiallahu anha played that role. She was such an individual. Let's discuss her family. Fatima bint Asad bin Hashim bin Abd Manaf radiallahu anha. So take note, she is very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in lineage. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from Banu Hashim. Fatima bint Asad is from Banu Hashim. Allahu Akbar. Allah blessed her with 4 sons. Who were they? Talib, Aqil, Ja'far and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And interestingly, there was a 10-year gap between all her children. Each child of hers had a 10-year gap between the other. Anyway, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so young, Fatima binti Asad showed him the love that he needed and the care. She would not show any of her children preference over Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she found this barakat. She found this barakat, the barakat of having Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in her home. It's reported historically, وَكَانَ عِيَالُ أَبِي طَالِبٍ إِذَا أَكَلُوا جَمِيعًا أَوْ فُرَادًا لَمْ يَشْبَعُوا. Abu Talib's family was such, whether they ate together or they ate individually, their food was never enough for them. وَإِذَا أَكَلَ مَعَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ شَبِعُوا. If Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam partook of meals with them, no matter how much of food there was, no matter how little it was always sufficient for everyone to eat comfortably. So Abu Talib would always start with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if it was milk, Abu Talib would instruct Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to partake first. And then he would give the others. And everyone would become fully nourished and satiated. And if anybody else had to partake in the absence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would never be sufficient. So Abu Talib would say to him, إِنَّكَ لَمُبَارَكَ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, really you are filled with barakat. إِنَّكَ لَمُبَارَكَ Allahu Akbar. What is barakat? Al-baraka, thubutul khayr al-ilahiyya fi shay. For some goodness, for Allah's special barakat, for Allah's special enhancement to envelop something. For Allah's enhancement, Allah's goodness to come into something. When something becomes mubarak, even little becomes lots. And this was the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the other children, in the morning, they would awaken, and their eyes and their mouths would be dirty with foul smells, like naturally would happen to human beings. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would awaken in the morning, dahinan kahila. His eyes would be clean, his hair would be neat, and this was special about him. So why would Fatima not embrace Islam when Allah's Nabi advocated the truth? When she saw this barakat throughout her life, in the upbringing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in her family. This is what Fatima noticed. She saw this barakat in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ayman radiallahu anha says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never ever demanding. He would make it comfortable for everyone. And he would be easy with everyone. And he would never ask or demand for food. But Abu Talib's character was such, and Fatima radiallahu anha's character was such, that whenever food was ready, they would not allow their own children to partake until they would make sure Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was present. And this was also because of their love for him, the love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the barakat they saw in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being part and parcel of them. So my respected listeners, Allah give us tawfiq. Show kindness to our children and show kindness to others' children. This kindness and mercy should be part and parcel of us. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the optimum of mercy. Show mercy to humanity. It should not be that we are kind and loving to our children. And that we should do. We should be kind to our children. But it mustn't be that we are cruel to other people's children. We have to be kind to humanity. How can we favor our children and deprive others' children? Especially If other children don't have parents, we should show them more love. We should show them, you know, that we are available for them. We should make their khidmah. As a society, we have to upbring those children also. Allah will bless us in our homes. Never be cruel with other children. Be kind with every child. This is the sunnah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very close to his uncle's family and his uncle's children. And Fatima would always hear about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's happenings, even when he grew and he got married to Khadija radiallahu anha. That's when he left the home. But before that, when he undertook the journey to trade for Khadija radiallahu anha to Sham, what happened on that journey, the blessings of that journey, he partook of that. And then when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to Khadija radiallahu anha, he moved out of the home of Abu Talib. But he was always close to the family of Abu Talib. To such an extent, even at that time, there's a report to say that Abu Talib's family was impoverished. When Ali radiallahu anhu was born, he was very, very young, and he refused to drink from any woman at that time, or there was a lack of anybody to give him milk at that time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at that time was very, very young. He came and he placed his tongue into the mouth of Ali radiallahu anhu, and that's what silenced Ali radiallahu anhu. Otherwise, before that, he was not prepared to remain silent. This is reported in Sirah Halabiyah. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always showed his kindness and his consideration to the family of Abu Talib. So because Fatima knew everything about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was commanded by Allah to invite to Allah, starting with his family, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started inviting to Allah ta'ala among the people to embrace Islam in the initial stages. Yes, we know it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Khadija radiallahu anha, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu grew up in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because what had happened was, because of Abu Talib's advanced age and his abundance of children, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to Abbas radiallahu anhu that let's go to my uncle Abu Talib and assist in upbringing his children, because there is difficulty, there is poverty, there is droughts in Makkah. Abu Talib agreed, and he allowed them to take whichever of his children they were prepared to take care of. So Aqil, Ja'far radiallahu anhu grew up in the home of Abbas radiallahu anhu. And how fortunate was Ali radiallahu anhu, who grew up in the home of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like they embraced Islam in the initial stages, likewise did Fatima binti Asad embrace Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the initial stages. And she supported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his sacrifices. She was there for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she encouraged her children to be there in the khidmat of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she made great sacrifices to such an extent in the initial stages when Muslims were going through great torture for the sake of Allah's deen. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in turn permitted Sahaba radiallahu anhum to go to the lands of Habasha. Among the Muhajireen, those Muslims who migrated to Abyssinia, was the son of Fatima binti Asad, Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ja'far radiallahu anhu and her daughter-in-law Asma binti Umais. So imagine Fatima binti Asad radiallahu anha bidding farewell to her beloved child as he leaves the lands of Makkah Mukarrama for Allah's sake. How difficult would it have been for her? But she remained firm for the sake of Allah ta'ala. Ja'far radiallahu anhu was very close in appearance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Sayyid al-Nas rahimahullah portrays so beautifully, بِخَمْسَةٍ شُبِّهَ الْمُخْتَارُ مِنْ مُضَرِي يَا حُسْنَ مَا خُوِّلُوا مِنْ شِبْهِهِ الْحَسَنِي بِجَعْفَرٍ وَابْنِ عَمِّ الْمُصْطَفَى قُثَمُ وَسَائِبٍ وَأَبِي سُفْيَانَ وَالْحَسَنِي. There was Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Every Sahabi imitated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, followed his sunnah, practiced his ways, upheld his teachings, imparted his beautiful sunnah to humanity. But there were those who looked like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very, very closely. No one can compare to him, but amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there were five whose appearance were very, very beautiful, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they were seen at a distance, it would be thought or considered that this could be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And amongst them, Ja'far radiallahu anhu was about the closest. Ja'far radiallahu anhu and his other cousin, Qutham radiallahu anhu, then Sa'ib radiallahu anhu, Abu Sufyan bin Harith, the famous Abu Sufyan is Abu Sufyan bin Harb radiallahu anhu, also the father of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. This Abu Sufyan, who looked like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father was Harith, and Harith was the son of Abdul Muttalib, and Harith was the brother of Abdullah, the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Sufyan bin Harith and the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hassan radiallahu anhu. These five look ditto Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So imagine for a moment this great mother, elderly mother Fatima binti Asad, bidding farewell to her child Ja'far, going for Allah Ta'ala's sake, serving in Allah Ta'ala's way, for Allah's pleasure, to uphold Allah's deen, to protect the iman. Imagine the sacrifice of this mother. Allah Fatima binti Asad radiallahu anha remained firm. And after that as well, the Quraysh realized the Muslims are not prepared to forsake their deen, they're not prepared to forsake their iman. No matter what atrocities were held against them, no matter how much torture they were put through, Muslims remained firm on Allah's deen. Amongst them was Fatima binti Asad radiallahu anha. And Muslims were put under this embargo, and there was a boycott against them, and they were sieged in this valley of Abu Talib, and no one was allowed to even deal with them in any way at all. The Quraysh and the Meccans were unified in this, but Fatima binti Asad with her husband Abu Talib, in supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remained firm. Then, just to continue the discussion of Fatima radiallahu anha, then the time of Hijrah came. Fatima binti Asad, after this siege, after this embargo, the Shi'b Abi Talib imprisonment for 3 years, and Muslims suffered great, hunger and pangs and difficulties. After this, because of the suffering of these years, the blessed wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khadija radiallahu anha, passed away. And likewise did Abu Talib, the husband of Fatima binti Asad, pass away. So Fatima binti Asad lived on, and then came the time of Hijrah. And when Hijrah time came, Fatima binti Asad made Hijrah to Medina Munawwara with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So she made Hijrah and she then lived in Medina Munawwara. There's many reports to say, like Tabaqat ibn Sa'ad mentions the status of Fatima binti Asad radiallahu anha, wherein he says, Fatima binti Asad embraced Islam in the early Meccan stages, and she made Hijrah, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would very, very often visit her. وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَزُورُهَا وَيَقِيلُ فِي بَيْتِهَا. And in afternoons, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go by her house and make qaylula by her. That was how close he was to her, because she was considered as the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah's Nabi would very often make qaylula in the home of Fatima binti Asad radiallahu ta'ala anha. Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would refer to her as his mother. On an occasion he said, come, we go to the janaza of my mother. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very close to her. He used to make her ikram. It's reported in Usdul Ghaba that Ja'da bin Hubayra says that Ali radiallahu anhu reported this hadith wherein Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handed over to me a silken sheet. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, O Ali, ij'alha khumran bin al-fawatim. Break this up into parda-sized pieces of material and give them to the fawatim. The fawatim. Interestingly, fawatim is the plural of fatima. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to four fatimas. So Ali radiallahu anhu made four pardas from this big silk sheet, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ali radiallahu anhu gave them. One was Fatima, the daughter of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other was Fatima binti Asad, the mother of Ali radiallahu anhu. And the third was Fatima bintu Hamza, Hamza radiallahu anhu's daughter Fatima. And the fourth was Fatima bintu Shayba, the wife of Aqil bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would very often make the ikram of Fatima binti Asad radiallahu anha. She was a woman of great status. She came from such a noble family, and her children were very, very great people. Fatima binti Asad radiallahu ta'ala anha. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Fatima radiallahu anha, his daughter, in marriage to Ali radiallahu anhu, what was the status of Fatima binti Asad then. She then becomes the mother-in-law of the daughter who's the princess, the queen of the woman of paradise, Fatima bint Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's learn from her akhlaq as a mother-in-law. What was the akhlaq of Fatima bint Asad? She loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much. And she loved the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much. She was very, very kind to her daughter-in-law. Meaning the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here you and I can learn this lesson. We find it easy to be kind to our daughters. But remember, our daughter-in-laws are also ours. And what we should also remember, our daughters become someone else's. Our daughter-in-laws will remain very, very close to us. We should actually take them as ours. A wise man will be kind to his daughter-in-law because she, to a great extent, takes the position of a daughter. Because the daughter comes and goes, but the daughter-in-law stays. Let us win that bond. And this is a request for daughter-in-laws and mother-in-laws. Be kind to each other. Win each other's hearts with akhlaq and character and ikram. Clap together. Show love for Allah's sake. Learn from Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and her mother-in-law, Fatima binti Asad, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. How kind they were to each other. How they used to make ikram of each other. This is something that we need to learn. Sadly today, the daughter-in-law is ill-treated by her mother-in-law. And she's hurt to a great extent. But it shouldn't be that tomorrow when she becomes a mother-in-law, she also is cruel towards her daughter-in-law. Allah Ta'ala save us. Remember, this daughter-in-law of ours is someone's daughter. And this wife of ours is also someone's daughter. Treat our daughter-in-law the same way as we want someone to treat our daughters. And treat our wives in the same manner we want someone to treat our daughters. Allah give us tawfiq. It's something we need to learn from Fatima binti Asad radiallahu ta'ala anha, the way she made ikram of her daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, and vice versa. Then there's an amazing report in Tabrani, amongst other reports as well, how Fatima binti Asad and Fatima bintu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law together would do the work. One would do one chore, the other would do the other chore, and like that they would make each other's tasks easier. Fatima binti Asad would do other chores that she had to do outside the house, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter Fatima radiallahu anha would do chores inside the house, and like that they used to work together as one team. This is how we need to team together. Allah give us tawfiq. And very importantly, before we say anything, rather think, remain silent. If something upsets us, pause for 20 seconds. Think, introspect, ponder, and then utter. There was this trouble between husband and wife, and then the wife went to one scholar, one Hakim sahab, and said, please give me this. You know, some treatment, some medicine, there's some trouble that is not being solved between myself and my husband. So what he said is, take these 7 cloves and put it into one piece of cloth, and as soon as your husband comes home, put this in your mouth and bite hard onto it, and do this for 1 week. But make sure you bite hard, it must not fall. If it's going to fall, then there's going to be the treatment is not going to work. And actually she did what this Hakim Saab said. And what happened then was, every day when the husband would come back, the wife would remain silent. Whatever he had to say, she was silent, because she had to fulfill that treatment, because she wanted the effect, you know, just to cause an impact on her husband, so that the fights and the arguments would stop. After 1 week, when they went to report to this Hakim Saab, and they found that, you know, the problem was completely solved. And what was the problem? It was, no one knew how to keep quiet. Keeping quiet solves the entire problem. Allah give us tawfiq. Arguments don't take us anywhere. The one who remains silent in spite of being right, in a hadith, what virtues does he receive? Allahu Akbar. مَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَهُوَ مُحِقٌ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave an argument even though you are right. Yes, you said, but you realize, you said what you felt, and you know it's right, but it's not going to affect the next person because they're not prepared to accept it. whether husband or wife, the one that remains silent and saves the relation pleases Allah. Shaitan goes to the corner and he starts crying. But on the other hand, when we continue the argument, and then the other partner continues the argument, and no one is prepared to stop, Shaitan is admiring the whole thing, yapping, screaming, happily rejoicing, and then the fight gets more heated up, and then it ends up into something brutal, and then it ends up into the entire family breaking, the children's hearts being shattered, and the entire home being going into shambles. Allah Ta'ala save us. But the solution, we learn from the daughter of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and her mother-in-law Fatima binti Asad, the way they team together, the way they work together. Let's remain silent. Let's learn how to control this one limb, which is the tongue. This will take us very, very far if we learn this from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Each one think of the rights of the next. Each one show akhlaq to the next. There's a beautiful hadith I remember in Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah that we should show respect even to our wives' parents. This is a beautiful hadith. What the hadith says, that because this man became the means of you having this wife, you should show him respect. Yes, we know we must be kind to our parents, but this hadith also we neglect. It also states that show kindness to the man through which you received your wife, meaning her father and her brother. This comes in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah give us tawfiq how to improve our relation amongst each other. Importantly, bring alive the halqa of ta'aleem in our homes. The simple fada'ilul a'mal. Hayatul Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sit as a family, read the stories of Sahaba radiallahu anhum in our homes. How much of barakat, how much of celestial light, nuraniyat will come into that home, and Allah Ta'ala will chase away and cast out shayateen from our homes. And very importantly, when we come home with Bismillah, taking Allah's name, with making salam, and enter the home with a smile. This will bring barakat in the home. Another interesting virtue of Fatima bint Asad radiallahu anha, as documented by Ibn al-Athir rahimahullah in his famous book Ustul Ghaba, he mentions that هي أول هاشمية ولدت لهاشمية. She is the first Hashimiyya, meaning a female Hashimi, meaning Hashim banu Hashim are the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she is a female Hashimiyya. And she's the first female Hashimiyya to give birth to a child for a Hashimi, who's her husband. Meaning her husband was from Banu Hashim, meaning Abu Talib. And she was a Hashimiyya, also from the offspring of Hashim. She was the, Asad bin Hashim. So she was first in that. And also, interestingly, she was the first female Hashimi to give birth to a Khalifa. She was the first female Hashimi to give birth to a Khalifa, because her son Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu was the fourth Khalifa of Islam. And the next Hashimiyya to give birth to a Khalifa was Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was the second Hashimiyya to give birth to a Khalifa, because she gave birth to Hassan radiyallahu anhu, who was also the Khalifa of Islam for a while after Ali radiallahu anhu, until he handed over Khilafah to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu for the unity of the Ummah. And the third was, interestingly, Zubaydah. Zubaydah, the wife of Harun al-Rashid, because she was also a Hashimiyya, and she gave birth to her son al-Amin in the Abbasid dynasty. So she was also a Hashimiyya who gave birth to a Hashimi. Jabir radiallahu anhu reports that whilst we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one occasion, when someone came to inform him that the mother of Ali radiallahu anhu and Ja'far radiallahu anhu and Aqil radiallahu anhu had just passed away, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Sahaba, come, let's go by my mother, qumu ila ummi. And we went, and we were humbled, our gaze was lowered as though there were birds perched on us, and we went quickly to the house. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam removed his kurta, and he said that use this. It was his upper garment, it was his kurta, and it was torn up and made into a kafan. And he said, use this as the kafan of my mother Fatima radiallahu anha. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam held her in very high esteem, because he considered her to be part and parcel of his life, and she was there for him, and she showed him the love of the mother. the love of a mother when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his own mother. In Majma' al-Zawaid, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam buried her and made this amazing dua for her. That Allah is that being who gives life and causes death. وَهُوَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. Allah is ever living and never dies. اغفر لأمي فاطمة بنت أسد. Oh Allah, you forgive my mother Fatima bint Asad. And oh Allah, you enable her to answer correctly. And Allah, you extend her grave for her. And Allah, we ask you this. بِحَقِّ نَبِيِّكَ وَالْأَنْبِيَاءِ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِي فَإِنَّكَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Through your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wa salam. Oh Allah, you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed janazah salah for her and put her in her. She was placed in her lahad, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed janazah salah for her. This is mentioned in Majma'u al-Zawaid. In this report, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went inside her grave. He lay down there. So one is, he gave his own upper garment to be part and parcel of her kafan, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laid down in her grave and then came out. When Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked him, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you did something that you don't generally do. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered. He said, Albastuha qamisi litalbas min siyabil jannah. I gave her my garment to be part and parcel of her kafan so that Allah may give her the garments of Jannah. And I laid down for a moment in her grave so that the grave never squeezes her. لِيُخَفَّفَ عَنْهَا مِنْ ضَغْطَةِ الْقَبْرِ. And then Allah's Nabi said, إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ مِنْ أَحْسَنِ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ إِلَيَّ صَنِيعًا بَعْدَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. From everyone, she treated me the best after my uncle Abu Talib. Allahu Akbar. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always remembered the kindness of this great woman, Fatima binti Asad, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. In the narration of Tabrani, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went by her, Fatima binti Asad bin Hashim, the mother of Ali radiyallahu anhu, and Ja'far radiyallahu anhu, and Aqil radiyallahu anhu. He sat by her headside after she had passed away. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for her. And he remembered her when he said, رَحِمَكِ اللَّهِ يَا أُمِّي كُنْتِ بَعْدَ أُمِّي تَجُوعِينَ وَتُشْبِعِينِ وَتَعْدِينَ وَتُكْسِينِ وَتَمْنَعِينَ نَفْسَكِ طَيِّبًا وَتُطْعِمِينِ تُرِيدِينَ بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. In this Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained how this was my mother. After my mother, she was my mother. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed her on one occasion, that you would remain hungry and you would give me to eat. Sometimes you didn't have to wear, but you would make sure I would dress amicably. And you would deprive yourself of so many nice things, but you would feed me, ma. Because you wanted Allah's pleasure for that definitely. Allahu Akbar. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many reports remembered the virtues of Fatima binti Asad and extolled her kindnesses towards him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that after Abu Talib, no one treated me so kindly as Fatima binti Asad radiallahu anha did. The fact that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered her grave, this was something very, very special. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't just do this for anyone. This happened 5 times on 5 occasions only. 3 were females and 2 were men. 1, the grave of Khadija binti Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. And this was during the Meccan period. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered her grave. And then she was placed in the grave. 4, during the Medinan period, the grave of the son of Khadija radiallahu anha, who was under the care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went in and put him into the grave. And the other was the grave of Abdullah Muzani, a great Sahabi. He was known as Abdullah Dhul Bijadain. He was that Sahabi who used to make loud dhikr. He was such, he made great sacrifice in Qurbani. His father passed away, so his mother himself were under the care of his uncle. But when he embraced Islam, his uncle kicked him out. He ran to Medina Munawwara with nothing. His mother gave him 1 sheet that he tore and wore like an ihram, like 2 towels, ihram towels, upper garment, lower garment. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He became part and parcel of Suffa. He used to make dhikrullah loudly. Some would say that, is he showing off? Allah's Nabi said, no, he's not showing off. He passed away during Tabuk, during that expedition. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, at night I saw a lamp. I went closer. And I found Allah's Nabi in the grave, and Abu Bakr and Umar were passing the Sahabi's body to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he placed his body inside the grave, and he made such a dua that, oh Allah, I am happy with him. Allah, you be happy with him. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, I wish I was that in place of the Sahabi in his grave. So that was Abdullah Dhul Bijadain radiallahu anhu. And the other was the grave of Ummu Ruman radiallahu anha. This was the mother-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the mother of Aisha binti Abi Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And the other was the grave of Fatima binti Asad radiallahu ta'ala anha. So this is something very, very great, showing the virtue of Fatima radiallahu anha. So the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removed his own kurta and gave it as part and parcel of the kafan, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered her grave, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made such beautiful du'as for her, Allahu Akbar, shows the virtue of this great Sahabiya radiallahu anha. She narrated 46 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she served Allah's deen. But what greater can make us understand the virtue of this great Sahabiya, other than the fact that she was chosen by Allah amongst many other women to be of those, from so many other women, she was the one chosen to become a mother to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or take the place of a mother. So she was very, very special. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to emulate the beautiful lives of these great sahaba and sahabiyat radiallahu anhun. Yes, we are not of those who will upbring the greatest of Allah's creation, but what we can do is nurture the deen of Allah, take care of the deen of Allah, love the deen of Allah, love the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be compassionate, be kind towards the sunnah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in our lives, in our families' lives, in our homes, amongst our children. Let's care for deen. Let's worry for deen. Let's love Allah's deen. Let's impart Allah's deen. What was important to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us take that as important as well. Allah will give us that same barakat, that barakat that Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu anha received when she opened her bosoms and her arms to this beloved child Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The barakat that Fatima binti Asad received when she showed kindness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will give us barakat when we show compassion to the deen of Allah. And remember, showing compassion to deen is not only lip service. It is something that has to be practiced. Let us learn deen, let us practice deen, let us propagate deen, and let us make others do the same. This is what we have to live for. What a great pious Allah wala, Haji Abdul Wahab Sahab Damat Barakatuhum. All his life he served Allah's deen, born in the year 1922. Passed away this year, just recently. All his life serving Allah's deen, calling to Allah. No Twitter, no Instagram, no, just connection to Allah. How many people attended his janazah? Over 1 million people, 1.2 million people. And then the drones, you know, identified approximately 500,000 people coming towards the janazah that didn't make it. How Allah Ta'ala puts love in the hearts of people for those who love Allah Ta'ala's deen, for those who serve Allah Ta'ala's deen. His every sentence, almost every sentence in every bayan was, Allah is doing and creation can't do. Allah is doing and creation can't do. In the initial stages of the effort, when Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali asked who will be ready to give life for Allah's deen, in serving Allah's deen, in spite of his tender age, he was the first to get up and say, I am ready for any taqaza to uplift Allah's deen in the four corners of the world, and not to ask anyone for anything. Let us make intention to change. Let us make intention to change and make a change, respected listeners. Let us also aspire to inspire before we expire. Allah give us tawfiq. Allah give us love for Sahaba radiallahu anhum, wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.